working with God, partnering with God, fellowshipping with God, the one who made the universe, invites us and says, talk to me about it. Let's do things together, hand in hand. Now, I believe one of the reasons why God wants us to pray is because he knows what's on the other side of our prayers. All right? What did Jesus say? Ask that. That means there's going to be something happening after you ask that your joy may be full. So that tells me God wants your joy to be full. Now, what happens if you don't ask? Is your joy going to be full? It's not. And whose fault is it? Did the devil attack you? Not necessarily. You didn't ask. All right? Call unto me, Psalm says, and I will deliver you. So deliverance, or from trouble, that verse says, comes after you call. So God is saying, please, in a sense, he's asking us to ask him. Now, why does he do that? What's the importance of that? Now, because this invitation that we have from God, there are a number of benefits. There are a number of things that happen in that invitation. One of the invitations is an invitation to guidance, invitation to revelation, knowledge that God has that you don't. Turn with me to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Now, God is doing the talking. So this is him talking to you. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you. Now, you know what? If Jeremiah had put a full stop there and that was the verse, you know, that's a pretty good verse. Call unto me and I will answer. Do you know that no religion in the world can claim that verse? Only God Almighty, only the God, the maker of heaven and earth. My little brother and I, well, he used to live in Thailand as a missionary, and I visited him. And we'd go by, and in many of the shops and on the corners, there would be temples. And in many of those temples would be Buddha. He was always smiling. You smiling Buddha, right? All right. So he was always smiling, and people put oranges. And no matter how many oranges you gave him, no matter how many incense that you lit, he was always had the same look on his face, always smiling. All right. But here's the thing. You could pray to Buddha, but Buddha doesn't talk back because Buddha's just an idol. Paul said about one of the churches, one of the Gentiles churches, he says, you know, you follow after dumb idols. That is, they have nothing to say. So here our God says, call unto me and I'll answer. There will be a reaction from heaven. And now here it is. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. So that means there are some great and mighty things that God knows that you don't. But he wants you to know them. But they only come on the other side of call. Call, look to me, and I will show you. So God doesn't want you in the dark. There is In this revelation, there is help. Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So in the day of trouble. Now see, there's a religious mindset that when you're in trouble, God is just going to kind of automatically start doing things. No, he's not. That's not a Bible verse. The Bible says, if you're in trouble, when you're in trouble, call on him. And what is he going to, what's his part? I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So if you're in trouble and you don't call on God, is there any deliverance? There's not. And is it because God doesn't like you or he's lost his power? No, he needs an invitation from you. God, and we'll get to this later, God does not do whatever he wants on the earth. He does what people participate with him on the earth. God works on the earth today through the invitation of man. Through the invitation of man. You can accept him. You can reject him. You can call upon him. You can ignore him. God works through people. Psalm 91 verse 15 says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. So what is he doing? See, what he's doing is he is putting seeds in our heart for the day of trouble. So if there's trouble, look to God. If there's trouble, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. All right. So he is wanting us to look to him, to give him access into our life by prayer, by looking to him. Now, the other thing is that prayer is an invitation to power. All right. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, how many righteous men or righteous women do we have here today? You're righteous. Okay? Not bad, but we could do better. Okay. Righteousness is a gift. Righteousness was given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ on the day you were born again. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't scrub yourself to be righteous. It's given to you. And so there's a benefit of being declared a righteous man, a righteous woman. Your prayers get answered. Amen. You have a right to get to God. Now, how many of you are righteous? You've been declared righteous before God. Amen. So tell your neighbor, this verse is talking about my prayers. Tell your other neighbor, this means me. All right. The prayer of a righteous man, who's that? All right. Is powerful and effective. New Living Translation says, this prayer has great power and wonderful results. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad prayer is not just an exercise? Something happens on the other side of prayer. Prayer brings God's power on the scene. All right. The Amplified Version puts it this way, that this prayer makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That Greek word, dunamis. All right. That is not your power, heavenly power, God's power. That which you are not able to do, God is able to do, but it happens in prayer. Amen. See, what we want to do during these weeks is we want to stir you up to pray. And we want to stir you up to pray the Bible way. Amen? Because see, here's the thing. Anything that God instructs us to do, it seems as though mankind, at times we've kind of messed it up. All right? We worshiped God by giving money. Amen? How many of you know that God is interested in that? Well, at least the pastor is. All right? No, God is too. All right? God is interested in your money. He instructs us to give. But how many of you know? So there's a godly way to give from your heart and to honor him and to love him. But how many of you know there's, unfortunately, man, we have messed up giving at times. We've messed it up. You want to be a millionaire? Then you got to release a million. You want God to heal you? Then plant a seed and name it, you know. Well, you can name a pumpkin seed tomato, but that doesn't change it from being a pumpkin seed. So you can give away money and expect healing, but thank God healing is paid for. It's free. So in prayer, we want to see, why does God do this? What are the boundaries that he gives us? Because we want to do it God's way. Because we want God's results. Amen. We want to turn loose of any tradition. We want to turn loose of... And see, here's the trouble. Is every religion in the world prays? Every religion prays. They talk. They never get answers, but they keep talking. All right? Because in one sense, they kind of feel like it's expected. All right? That's kind of the deal of my thing to do to make that God up there happy with me. All right? God has an entirely different way, a reason for us to pray. Prayer brings God's power on the scene. Number three, what is it an invitation to? It is an invitation to mercy and forgiveness. Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. You are abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. All right? So is God's mercy and is God's forgiveness available? Amen? It's available to all. Who receives it? Those who call upon him. Those who call upon him. So does that mean that you can be in contact with a God of mercy and not receive it? Yes, you can. If you don't ask for it. If you don't call out for him. All right. Now, here's the thing. God hears and God answers with a response. All right? He is not just interested in hearing our prayers just for the sake of hearing them. All right? How many of you, you've ever gone through a situation in life, you've had a difficulty, maybe you've just, your heart is sore, you're confused, and you find someone who listens to you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I remember my little girl when I was, she was 3 years old, and she was trying to talk to me, and I was probably watching sports on TV. You know, men, we have a hard time doing three things at one time. Women say we cannot multitask. I believe it's just the masculine power of focus. Amen. All right. So anyway, I was focused on that. And she's saying, Daddy, focus, you know. So she's 3 years old. She gets my head in her hands and she turns it to her face and says, Dad, listen to me. All right. So human beings, we have trouble with focus. Guess what? God never does. Let's look at a couple of verses. God is ready. God is listening. Psalm 4 verse 3 says, the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. God will hear. You know, if that's true, then we should talk to him. We should lift up our voices to him. Psalm 116 verse 1. Psalm 116 verse 1. David said, I love the Lord because. How many of you know you could go in a million directions right there? How many of you can think of 50 things? I love the Lord because. Amen. Well, here's one thing you can love him because. Because he has heard me, my voice, and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Hallelujah. Therefore, see, because of all that, because I know that, therefore, I will call upon him. See, friends, you got to know that. See, if you don't know that, that might be a reason why you're not praying. God is listening. God is hearing. God is answering. And his ear is ready. The Bible says inclined. That means he's leaning towards you. We were at a function last night, a wedding reception. It's always funny at church. When we have wedding receptions, the bridal party never is in the early services, you know. But I am. Hallelujah. All right. So the music was loud and everything. So we're trying to hear each other. So we're, what are you saying? So we're leaning towards each other to be able to talk. That's what God is doing to you right now. That's God's posture towards you. He's got his ear inclined to you. Now, we've got a really cool thing that we have in our world called cell phones, right? How many of you have a cell phone? All the righteous men, right? Everybody has a cell phone. Rumor has it it's going to be in the new constitution. Everybody has a cell phone, all right? Pastor, if Pastor Ken were to call me, all right, on this cell phone, all right, I've got his name. It's you calling? Okay. All right. So sometimes it says the network is busy, all right? But here comes the call. All right. I've got a receiver. He knows how to get a hold of me. All right. In heaven, the Bible says that we talk to God through the name of Jesus. All right. And that day you'll ask Jesus, you'll ask me nothing. You'll ask the Father in my name. All right. So here we go. Ken Bonda. Now I've got an option on my phone. Answer question mark. Yes. Probably now's not a good time to talk. Then the next one is mute. That's kind of a good option sometimes. I'll try that one. So I hit mute. No more ringing. No more bothering. That means I'm just putting my fingers in my ears. And then I've got this last one. I'll try this one. No. No. Answer the question. Answer. No. And you know what happens? When I hit no, a lady begins to talk to Pastor Ken. The caller you have called is busy now. That's what she said. She just said that, didn't she? Except he knows I'm not busy because it rang 3 or 4 times and I just hit the button that says busy. Send a busy tone. See, here's the thing. You see, on my phone, there's yes, there's mute, there's no. And see, when God calls you, you get to choose. Am I going to say yes? Or am I going to do mute? I don't want to hear it, God. That's what Jonah did, hey? Jonah says, go to Nineveh. Preach the mercy and forgiveness of God. Nah, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And then lastly, you can tell God you're too busy. Well, I never told God that. No, but you do that sometimes with our actions, right? If we never let God talk to us, we're so busy. We send him a busy signal. All right. Now, here's the cool thing. These are our cell phones. God's cell phone only has one button. Yes. 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 We're calling God, name of Jesus. Woo, yes. Amen. In fact, let me try this. We've got some time in this service. My wife was in the second service. I took her phone with me. All right. Now, when Pastor Ken calls, it's like ding-a-ling-a-ling. You know, it's just a nice little thing. But when my wife calls, it's not just ding-a-ling-a-ling. All right. When my wife calls, I want to know that it's her. Turn it up. Turn it up. Can you turn it up? Come on. All right. So when my wife calls, I feel good. Like I knew that I would. All right. Husbands, how many times if your wife calls you and your cell phone says, I feel good, is that sometimes a faith confession? But here's the thing. You know what? I believe that's God's ringtone to you. When you call, you know what happens? God says, ooh, I feel good. He starts it off with the James Brown shout. Wow, I feel good. He's ready to talk. You are not bothering God. You don't have to get his attention. You don't have to grab his face like Jessica did to me and say, God, are you listening? No, the Bible says his ear is open. And thank God he's not just listening just so that we can talk. He's listening so that he can move. There is power that is available. There is guidance. There is direction. There are things that you don't know that he knows that he's going to show you. Great and mighty things. All right. All these things that happen on the other side of prayer. How many of you are thinking, I think I should pray a little bit more? Amen. That's we want God. We want the Holy Spirit to stir you up towards this area of your life. Now, when we look at prayer and as we progress in our studies, we're going to see that prayer, there are many different types of prayers. The Bible says that there are things that you can pray that God won't listen to. All right. The Bible says you can ask amiss. The Bible says your prayers can be hindered. All right. So there's lots that we need to know about prayer. All right. But in general, there prayer kind of has two sides. All right. If you've got a note, money on one side, there's something that is printed on the other side. Okay. Well, which is right? Which is wrong? They're both right. It's the same note. It just has two sides. And prayer with God is very much so. It has two distinct aspects. One aspect is the authority side, the covenant side. In a sense, here's the deal. All right. Here's how we relate to God. In a sense, you could say the legal side of prayer. All right. On the other side of prayer, same prayer, is the relationship side of prayer. It's not just a courtroom. It's not just a business transaction. The God who made the universe loves you. He's your father. Jesus, your advocate, is your brother. All right. So it's family communication. It's someone who loves another person sharing the things that are in their heart. So we see words like friendship. We see words like love and kindness and fellowship when it comes to prayer. All right. So there's the legal side of prayer and there is the relationship or the fellowship side of prayer. All right. Now, on the legal side of prayer, all right, we have to understand that our Bible, the Bible that has been given to us, is the Old Testament and the New Testament. We could say the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. All right. The word covenant means a solemn agreement that is made between two parties. All right. It could also, it has the very same idea as a contract. All right. Now, if you ever entered into a contract, probably there was some negotiation, right? If you rent the house where you're living, how many of you were able to get the price down after some negotiation? All right. Man, some of you need to pray more. All right. Anyway, there's some negotiation. There's, you know, I like this part. And so when all the negotiation is done, then people sign. I agree. And now it becomes what law says is binding. That is, no more negotiation. You agree to it. They agree to it. It is within the realm of the law of the land. Okay, it doesn't violate any laws. And so that contract is now valid between two parties, and it doesn't violate any laws of the land. All right, so now that is enforceable. That is the way we are going to relate when it comes to this business or this property or the way things are. That is exactly what God did with mankind. He made a covenant. He made a deal. Now, the interesting about God's covenant is there was no negotiation. He did it with himself. All right, he came down from heaven, right? And he said, all right, I'm going to relate to man. You remember Moses was on the mount for 40 days and he came down with the Ten Commandments? Do you know it didn't take 40 days for God and Moses to argue about which commandments are going to get in and which are going to be left out? It was all God, right? The law of the Lord. So the covenant that God makes with mankind, we have recorded in our scriptures, and we have one called the New Covenant, all right? And so now God says, this is the way you and I are going to relate. And very much so, God says, take it or leave it. No discussion. This is my word. I will not change my mind. The Bible says this, his word is forever settled in heaven. See, the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't make mistakes. So if he wrote his word once, God, when he types, he doesn't have spell check. He has no editor. He has no reason, because the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect. And so the covenant that he brings and he gives to mankind, all right, now we are invited to relate to God on his terms, not our terms. You know, and it's so sad today when I hear people, and I love watching news programs where people talk about God, because you get five people on there, none of whom usually know anything about God. All right, I'm talking about CNN, all right? BBC, all right? Thank God we get, when pastors from here, we talk about God on TV, we know what we're talking about. Amen? But I love watching CNN because you get this guy, you get this guy, you get this New Age guru, and they all talk about, well, I don't believe that God would do that. Well, who cares what you believe? Well, I don't think that a God who does... Well, no, here's the thing. We don't care what you think. We don't care. Human beings do not define truth. God defines truth. We either accept it or we ignore it. Well, I just feel that, you know, I just feel this way. Well, your feeling is legitimate, but it could be very much wrong. Okay? Well, I just can't see a God who loves would send anyone to hell. I don't believe in a God like that. Well, then you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Because Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Hell is real. All right? You can't read the Bible and come away thinking that hell isn't real. They're not fables. It's not scare tactics. But the real fact of the matter is that, guess what? God doesn't send anyone to hell. People choose to go there. If people decide that they do not want God in their life, then for all of eternity, they can have that decision. God will not make them love him. And so hell is really now the final choice that people can make. If they reject Jesus, God will let them reject Jesus. Amen. It's very sad, but people do. All right. So God defines covenant. God defines this is the way that we're going to relate. So when we talk to him, it has to be on the basis of his word. All right? It has to be on the basis of the contract, of the covenant. All right? So in your prayer life, I would invite you, everything that you pray needs to be within the boundaries of God's word. Because God doesn't do things outside of his boundaries. All right? And so when you pray a prayer that is not based on the word of God, you have no foundation. Many of your prayers should start like this. God, you said. You can start many prayers. Father, according to your word. See, that's the basis. That's the starting place. That's where, God, I'm relating to you. Because you said this, I'm asking you. How do you know what to ask him for? Right here. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. A Christian that is ignorant of God's word will have a defeated prayer life. They will have a lifetime of unanswered prayers. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Aren't you glad we can have confidence? That. So what's the confidence? Based on that. If we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So evidently, it is of paramount importance that you ask according to God's will. Now, what some people would suggest that we do with that verse is just kind of pray about everything. Just throw it up to heaven, kind of like a shotgun, you know? And hope it hits something, you know? And just kind of pray about everything. And in those prayers, whatever might or happen to be God's will on that particular day, because you never know, you know, because it might be, it might not be, it might be for you, but not for you. Maybe on a Friday, but not a Thursday. And so just kind of throw up all those prayers, and whatever is his will, he'll grab that one. And if it's his will, then he'll hear you and he'll give it to you. But if it's not his will, then you're out of luck. No, that's not at all the way the Bible wants us to pray. The Bible wants us to go to God's word to discover his will. He has made his will clear and plain. All right? So, if you're praying for a loved one, all right, that doesn't know Jesus, you need to start off your prayer by saying, God, you said in your word, you are not willing that any should perish. It is not my will that my brother go to hell, Father. So based on, see, I'm starting right here, God. See, you don't start off your prayer begging God. Oh, God, my brother, oh, God. Oh, please, please, God, please, God, please, God. See, now you're basing your prayer on your ability to really want it. And that's and in some way of convincing God that you really want it, then he'll say, oh, wow, they're serious. Friends, listen, listen, listen. You cannot manipulate God. Manipulating means forcing him to do something that he doesn't want to do. God doesn't do that. God is God. Amen. It's kind of like I've seen with when we lived in South Africa, and now they've discovered it here as well. At the shops, you know, you have all the nice food for the family, and you've got the cabbage and the vegetables, and you've got your meat and everything, and you've got your child, and, you know, they're 3 years old, they're not in school yet, and so they go shopping with you, and you come to the till to pay, and what do they have? They don't have cabbage, beans, no, they've got sweeties, because they figure you want them, but the kids, they've been shopping all day long, and they're like, Mommy, can I have a sweetie? And you look at your watch and it's almost supper time. You say, no. Mommy, please. Please, Mommy. And then sometimes children say this, but I want it. But I want it. All right? And then the voice goes up. The tears come down. Right? I want a sweetie. And sometimes you actually think there's a deliverance service about to take place. that kid just goes crazy. I want to. If you could come out of him. And here's what happens. I've seen this. So the mother is embarrassed. You know, she looks like a child abuser in front of everyone, you know. So she said, and she puts it in there. And what happens to the tears? The demon goes away. And what you're teaching your three-year-old little girl is, use emotion to get what you want in life. That's a real good lesson, isn't it? And so when she's 33, she turns on the tears. Just a thought. All right. But so if we ask anything according to his will, where do we discover God's will? The written word of God, the covenant, the contract that we have with God. He made it. He didn't have to put it there. If he didn't want us to know, he didn't have to put it there. But if he did, we can relate to God based on it is written. God, you said. The Bible says, or God says, put me in remembrance of my word. Not that he forgets, but that is the basis of what we're going to deal with. It's not based on your need. It's not based on your tears. It's not based on your pain. It's based on his word. It's based on thus saith the Lord. And so when we go to God, knowing his word, knowing his will, then we have a firm foundation to stand on the word of God in our prayer. Not arrogance, but what did he say? Confidence. Confidence. This is the confidence we have in him. That when I go to God, I know that he hears me when I'm asking according to his will, and I've got it now. I don't have to wait for everything to change. I have it. I have it when I pray. Not when the situation changes. I have it when I pray. See, that's the prayer of faith that is based upon God's revealed written word. Amen. If your kids are in trouble, get out the contract. Get out the contract, friends. Because the Bible says about your children, all of your children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be their peace. Oh, Pastor, I don't really know where that is. Sorry. Again, sorry. It's in the Bible. It's there. There are exceeding great and precious promises. Go get them. Well, but I just want God to move. Based on what? Based on what? I should be able to ask you right now, anything that you're trusting God, anything that you're looking to him about, I should be able to ask you, and in 1 second, you should be able to answer me, what verse are you basing your faith upon? What verse? I can't remember. I think Joyce Meyer said it one time, somebody had a word over us one time, you know, Prophet Jimmy Bob. Well, that's nice. But I don't know if what Prophet Jimmy Bob says lines up with the word of God. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Amen. Base your prayer life on the word of God. All right. Because here's the thing. God moves on the earth when people ask him to. God does not do everything that he wants. No lightning just hit me. God's will does not happen every day on the earth. It doesn't happen. It happens with man's cooperation. Okay, now listen to this. Jesus told us how to pray, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All the revealed things that he is. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom. Your will. Where? Well, why should we have to pray that? I thought God's will just automatically happens. God is in heaven playing a giant cosmic chess game with himself. Ooh, good move. Ooh, nice. Yeah, okay. Nice. Ooh, plane wreck. Hurricane. Yes, wonderful. Blessing. Yeah. It all is up to God. Friends, you have not read the Bible carefully if you believe that. You really, really haven't. You have not. The Bible says, Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, on earth, on earth. God needs someone on earth, on earth. Amen. We'll get to this in a few more weeks. But the prayer of agreement says, if any two of you, any two of you where? On earth. On earth. Well, I'm going to pray my relatives in heaven. I'll get him to pray for me. That's not going to work. We need it on earth. On earth. On earth. Why? Because God has delegated to mankind authority on the earth. On the earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. The fullness thereof. He has given it to the sons of man. Genesis chapter 1. God made the heavens and the earth. We didn't. All right. Charles Darwin didn't do it. All right? God made the heavens and the earth. He created man. He made us in his image. And then he said, you, mankind. Tell your neighbor this. God's talking about you. He said, you have dominion. Have dominion. The word there, Hebrew, means to rule, to subjugate. God, now, he had the dominion to give. It was his to give, and he did. And nowhere in the Bible do you ever see God taking it back. He doesn't. So what God does on the earth, he does through human beings. He does it through human beings who are talking to him, asking him. Another example, Jesus in Matthew 9. He was with his disciples and they came to Jerusalem, and the compassion of God began to overwhelm Jesus, and he saw all the people, and they were like sheep having no shepherd, scattered. Another translation says their problems were so great. And so Jesus says, he makes an observation. He says, the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Do you know that hasn't changed in 2,000 years? The harvest is more ripe. The laborers are still few. All right. So Jesus makes an observation. He wants his disciples to hear it. The harvest is ripe. Harvest is ripe. There's not a harvest problem. We've got a labor problem. Do you see that? The body of Christ has gone on a go slow. They've taken industrial action against what heaven wants us to do on the earth. We're not doing what God asked us to do. All right. And so harvest is ripe. There's not a harvest problem. The laborers are few. What's the answer? What's the solution? Jesus said, why didn't he just say to his disciples, but don't worry about it, guys. I'm Jesus. You know, I'm God. I don't worry. Just you don't worry about this. I'll sort it out. No. He gives an observation, and then funny enough, the second part, Jesus has a prayer request. Jesus? I thought Jesus, you know, why would he need prayer? Because he needs somebody on earth. And he said, guys, here's a prayer request. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Well, I thought God's just going to do that. No, he won't. And he won't even commission laborers until right here we pray. You remember in the book of Acts? A Gentile was praying to God and said, come over and help us. They talked to God. God talks to the apostle. Come over and help us. What did the Bible say in Psalms? It says, ask of the Lord and he'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. Well, I didn't know I had to ask for it. Yeah, you have to ask for it. Ask of the Lord. Ask of the Lord. Ask of the Lord. All right? And he'll send laborers into his harvest. Now, if God was going to bring in the harvest and do his kingdom business on the earth without us, it would be done by now. God is efficient. Okay, God can do stuff. And if God wanted to send an angel to preach gospel crusades, he could. How many of you know people would probably go? You know, 10-foot angel on fire with a sword. No TV, no radio, no handbills. I think word would get out. you might want to go to Mulungushi. There's an angel of God preaching. The God is, wow, it's awesome. Okay? So if God wanted angels to preach the gospel, he would have given them that job. But Jesus told his disciples, he says, you go. You go therefore. Go therefore. Go therefore. Now here's the thing. On the earth, there are situations. Pastor Ken was telling me about a place he preached a number of years ago on crusade. And when he got to this village, and they, you know, these people wanted to bless him and have a, give him a place to stay. Well, there wasn't any place to stay. So they kicked the chickens out where the chickens lived. And then they got all the chicken droppings and they got those out. And then they got ashes and put them on the floor so that all the fleas would not be attacking him at night. And they said, good night, man of God. Hey, I'm telling the truth. I'm not just preaching, right? All right. So that's there are difficulties in preaching the gospel. There are places we still haven't gotten to yet. So, well, God, just send angels. No, I'm not going to send angels to do your job. I'm giving you the job. I'm giving you the responsibility, and I'm not taking it back. God gave us authority on the earth to act on his behalf. So that's why Jesus gave us his name. So we act on behalf of heaven. All right? So Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and there was a blind man, and he was asking of assistance, right? Was it a crippled man? Crippled man. Asking alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give you. What did he have the very next breath? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's what I have. I've been authorized. You've been authorized. We have the name to act on the earth. Well, why didn't God just fix that paralyzed guy? That's not how God does stuff. He works through people. Whenever you hear about a revival around the world and things are happening and everything, you know, sometimes we talk to each other and we say, man, did you hear what God's doing? Hear what God's doing in East London? Did you hear what God's doing in Nigeria? Well, what do you mean, God? Well, God, you know, God's moving. How's he moving? There's a dude or a dudette whom God is moving through. And before God moved, someone prayed. Someone prayed. Someone asked God, God, come into my family. God, into my church. God, into my nation. Let me say this. Let me get it right. If the body of Christ would ask God with the same amount of time that we complain, our nation would be changed pretty quickly. What have you done? Nothing. Nothing. What has been accomplished? Nothing. You've shared with somebody. Maybe you've shown them how smart you are. Well, I know somebody. I know somebody who knows somebody, and I know really. No, I know. I know. Well, good for you. You haven't changed anything. But God said, I will hear when my people pray. I will hear their land. Not when you complain. Let me throw you another one in. Not when you read the newspaper. I read the newspaper. My families are in newspapers. I like the newspaper. It doesn't change the earth when I read the newspaper. You know what changes the earth? When you and I say, Father, I'm on the earth. This is my land. This is my home. These are my children. This is my school. What do you say? I'm here. This is my authority. I'm delegated to ask you right now. God, I'm asking you, according to your word, you said, God, amen. What are we doing? We're making God's power available. Amen. Let me say this. Thinking about praying is not praying. Now here's one for me. Preaching about praying is not praying. Praying is praying. And praying God's word and his will is the only prayer that gets answered. It's the only thing that brings tremendous power available on the earth, on the earth, on the earth, God said. If two of you on earth, amen. Well, God have his way. He'd love to if you ask him. Well, I just believe everything's going to work out. Well, if you're not asking him anything, then you shouldn't believe that. Because it won't. We have an enemy on the earth. All right? There are other forces at work. Amen? It is our responsibility, God, your kingdom, come. Amen? Now, the other side of prayer is the prayer that when we go to God with his word, it is not just a legal deal. It's not just going to God, you know, pulling out the contract and say, okay, according to statute 31.2 of the Divine Healing Code, I therefore demand my rights. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. No. Now, is there a covenant? Yes. Is there a contract? Yes. Did God give you his word? Yes. But this is a relationship. He's your father. Amen? He loves you. You're his child. All right, so in our asking, there's a friendship. Do you remember when God, before the cross, before the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was laid on Jesus, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah had to be judged. All right? Thank God. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was put on Jesus. Amen? He was judged for them. All right? But before the cross, their sins were crying out to God for judgment. And so God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And what did he say? Shall I hide from my friend Abraham? We hang out. We talk. We do stuff together. We're partnered together. And I'm not just going to do something independent from Abraham. So he says, Abraham, here's what I'm thinking. And Abraham says, well, here's what I'm thinking, God. You're not going to destroy the righteous and the ungodly together. He said, you'll spare them if they're 50 righteous, won't you? And God said, yeah, I will. What about 45? Yeah, I will. Heard somebody say that Abraham might have just not gone far enough. You see, what God was doing was he was inviting Abraham to intercede on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did God tell Jonah, go to Nineveh or I'm going to kill him? Because he doesn't want to kill him. That's not his best. That's not his plan. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So he's going to talk to us about stuff. All right? So that we can work with him on the earth. And so, so much we can talk about. But friends, see, there are times where God may wake you up in the middle of the night. And there may be a relative who is just obeying the devil as best as they possibly can. You got a few relatives like that? Oh, I do too. Not my mother-in-law, thank God. But you know what? You know what God's doing? He's asking you, ask, plead on their behalf. Plead on their behalf. See, they're not interested in God. Somebody's got to, intercession means I'm going to get in the gap. They're not doing anything about this. So I am. I'm going to plead their case before the Father. God, you said you love them. God, you said you'd be merciful. God, send laborers across the world. God, I am asking on their behalf because they're not asking. All right? And so what happens? You work with God on planet Earth. A number of years ago, well, I guess it would have been last year, we just had a burden to pray for the elections in Zimbabwe. We just had a burden. And so we, Wednesday night after Wednesday night after Wednesday night, we would just pray and we'd pray. And lots of folks from Zimbabwe came and they would help lead the prayers and everything. Well, what happened? I don't know. We prayed to God. All right. God asked us. He told us because there's something he wants to do there, but he needs somebody here asking him. Well, I tell you, our schools are really messed up. Boy, I tell you, The Bible doesn't say with prayer and with complaining. The Bible says with prayer and thanksgiving. It takes no faith to whine. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Gratefulness is, joy is, amen? All right, we've talked long enough. So today, we're just going to just take a short time and just act on what we heard today. God wants to hear your voice. He's inclined his ear. He wants to know what's in your heart. He wants you to ask him. Maybe there's some things that you've already asked him. Go ahead, stand on those words. Say, God, I'm still standing. God, according to your word, you said, God. All right. Maybe you just want to thank him. Maybe you just want to be grateful. Maybe you just want to love on your father and say, God, I just thank you for your goodness, your kindness. All right. But let's just go ahead and lift up our voice to God right now. Okay. I would encourage you, close your eyes. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. That means where it's just you. It's private. Okay. And closing your eyes can help facilitate that you're not distracted by people around you or anything. And just lift up your voice to God right now. Just talk to your father. Talk to your father. Start off the conversation by, Lord, according to your word. Start off the conversation with, God, you said. Go ahead, just lift up your voice. Let's just take a little bit of time and act on what we've heard today. Thank you, Father. Oh, I do thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, I thank you that you know what I don't know. Yep, Lord, you see the hearts. You see the hearts. Lord, I don't know everything I don't know everything there, Lord. And Lord, maybe I don't need to. But Lord, I do need you to work on their behalf. Lord, they love you. They're one of your children. And God, I'm asking on their behalf. Lord, give them space to repent. Lord, help them. Yes, Lord, help them. Help them. Lord, in that situation, I also don't know. But Lord, from what I can see, it's not supposed to be happening that way, Lord. It shouldn't. That shouldn't be happening, Lord. Thank you, Father. I call upon you. I ask you that you will answer them. Answer them with solutions, Father. Lord, if they've missed it, Lord, show them. Show them, Lord. Show them. Show them, Lord. Lord, give them light. Light, 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 light for their path. Give them light, Father. Give them light, Father. Yes. Oh, yes, Father. I agree. Yes, it'll be done in Jesus' name. It will be done. It will be done. It won't take forever. It'll be done. It will be done. Yes, yes, yes. And Father, however I can do to help that, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Whatever I can do to help that, Lord. Yeah, including that's fine too. That's fine too in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.